time limit draw is brought to you by IcaPro. IcaPro, for everybody who cares about their body.
Hey, yo.
These magnificent athletes with these magnificent moves is why people should be watching the WCW, baby.
You keep your mouth shut, that boy.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga.
Gentlemen, as you know, the Ultimate Warrior. What?
Where are you? Why me? You should have took a cab and used that money to fix your crooked yellow teeth.
I'm Tony Schiavone. Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell. We're out of here. Straight to hell.
Blow it out your ass, O'Hare. I got guys that can take out your kneecaps.
Did you two guys enjoy doing this? I can't imagine that.
And this week on the Wrestling Wrap-Up, we're going to be hearing some comments from the mysterious Black Scorpion, the man that this man, the World Heavyweight Champion Sting, has signed to defend his championship against, live here on TBS on September 5th. Sting, do you know anything about this man? And if not, how are you preparing to wrestle him?
Well, I have no idea, Bob, who this guy is, the Black Scorpion. I have no clue. No one's saying anything to me. I've seen this little bit right now. I want to see a little bit more here in a few minutes, and I want to give everybody out there the opportunity to see the same thing that I'm going to see for the first time. He is an unknown. How do I prepare for something like that? Well, you just have to go for broke. If it's Ric Flair, if it's Arn Anderson, any of the other stars in the NWA, at least I have an idea on how to prepare for something like that. But this guy here, Bob, the Black Scorpion, I have no idea who he is, but I said on national TV on so many different occasions now that I would defend it against anybody worthy enough. Obviously, he must be, so I'm going to defend it.
Maybe we can get an idea who he is, Sting. And to do that, fans, let's watch this.
Yeah, let's watch it.
Sting, are you listening? Huh? Of course you are. You're too much of a hero and a champion to refuse to hear this tape. Sting, I am going to destroy you. A long time has passed since you last saw me. Oh yes, you know me, or at least you did. But don't try to track me down, it won't help. Even if you saw my face in light, you wouldn't recognize me. My face doesn't look the same. Curious. I imagine you are. Of course you are. I want you to be thinking, be concerned, maybe even a little scared. Soon, I intend for you to be terrified. Think back. Who could it be that would hate you enough to want to see you a broken, defeated man? Maybe a little clue will help. How about California in 86? Think about it, Sting. Think about who I am and remember this. You'll have a chance to find out on September 5th. At the Clash, at Mountain Madness, I'll be there, waiting.
We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Time Limit Draw. We just watched the worst pay-per-view imaginable. I am James Ryan. I have no clue what's going on.
I'm Mikey Watson. That's a big boy. You just said the worst pay-per-view imaginable. That's a big boy statement.
That's a big boy stance right there. I'm in utter shock. I just watched the diarrhea of the main event just a couple minutes ago, and I feel like I was abused all night long, mentally, physically, emotionally, and Mikey, I'm in pain right now.
Yeah, the main event is, I don't even know how you put it into words, but it is arguably the greatest clusterfuck of all time. It's in the discussion.
This whole pay-per-view has just clusterfuck. I understand if there was one or two, and then we smooth it out toward the end. There is just awful stuff throughout the entire. It's just, they just said, you know what, fuck it, let's just screw around.
Well, I mentioned to you off the air that I think one of the reasons that the show is so disjointed and has no direction is because they were clearly going with a change in the booking committee after this show. So it was like, well, we're just going to write off everything that happens here. And the result was a main event with that just... they booked themselves into a corner with this shit. And I guess they... If they didn't do it how they did, it would have come off as absolutely Bush League. And somehow it still came off as absolutely Bush League. So I don't even know. We'll talk about it more when we get there. We're, of course, talking about Starrcade 90 Collision Course.
Collision Course.
Woo! Yeah, we're on a collision course with absolute dog shit.
this happened December 16th, 1990, at the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis, Missouri. Is this the building that was then turned into the Kiel Center?
They tore it down, and I think they built the new one right on top of it, if I remember right.
Gotcha. I wouldn't be surprised if they tore it down right after this show and said, you know what, let's just bury this.
I wouldn't be surprised if the fans burned it down after this show and they had to commission a new arena because of it.
Attendance for this is a raucous, angry 7,200 people.
Oh, they must have put everybody on the same side of the arena.
Yeah, there was a camera shot later in the show that it looked like on one of the curves of the center, maybe there was five people in this section. Not even the glorious voices of Jim Ross and Paul Heyman can save this show.
Paul E. Dangerously on color commentary in 1990 WCW. I absolutely love it. What a shitty opening video, by the way. The stars with the guys. Wow. Oh, God. Straight out of the 80s. Wow. It was garbage.
Oh, by the way, also, just in case you don't know, Operation Desert Shield has commenced, and we are kicking ass.
Yes. This was, of course, we had sent troops, I think, at this point to Kuwait to, like, occupy Kuwait and defend for the invading Iraq. And then when Iraq finally, you know, and then we decided we were going to kick Iraq's ass in the middle of January, and Desert Shield became Desert Storm, and Scott Steiner surely had some words about that. Me and my brother, we had a great, our uncles, they served in Korea and Vietnam, and they kicked everybody's ass.
We got those gooks.
we get a prototype Big Papa Pump promo later in the show too, which is just it just adds to the bizarre quality of this whole
couldn't
thing.
Couldn't stop laughing at that one too. Alrighty, Gary Capetta. You know, everything is starting off smooth. You know, we got Jim Ross, we got Paul Heyman, we got Gary Capetta.
Yeah, but before we go too far, they announced that we have the first annual Pat O'Connor Memorial Tag Team Tournament. I'm like 99.9999999% sure this was the only annual Pat O'Connor Memorial Tag Team Tournament. And for all parties involved, I hope so.
Yeah. Yes, they will not be inviting some of these teams back.
God, no. Jesus.
So, Sam Mushnick?
Mushnick, old promoter out of St. Louis. They brought him in the ring. And Capetta calls him the greatest promoter ever. What a slap in the face of Jim Crockett. Just piss on his grave. Fuck you, Capetta.
Oh, this guy starts talking and he introduces the whole crowd. His microphone is pretty much off.
Yeah.
WCW. WCW, everybody.
Absolutely. WCW production values in the first 2 minutes of the show.
They get the color guard is out there, and they start the national anthem, and Gary Capetta is already, he's still talking during the national anthem.
He talks over half the goddamn anthem!
What the hell?
He literally talked over the first half of the Star Spangled Banner.
Everybody rise to your feet. Oh, it's already started.
The only saving grace of this is as they pan away at the end of the anthem, we see a Sid Rules sign, which is fucking awesome. It's not even the best Sid sign we'll see tonight.
You know, I was a little pissed that Ranger Ross was not with the color guard.
I'm pretty sure he was already in jail by this time.
The mullets, mullet count is already over 100, I've seen, and they are glorious.
And that's not even counting Paul Lee or our first two competitors of the evening, beautiful Bobby Eaton, yes, and the Z-Man, Tom Zink.
Billed from the Dark Side, formerly Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, at this point, he's still from the Dark Side because he's fresh off the Midnight Express breakup or whatever it was. I think Cornette and Stan just left the company, leaving Bobby out there to dry. Shortly thereafter this, he will start being billed from Huntsville, Alabama. It's not too far after this, I don't think. I'm guessing Bobby was the de facto heel here. So if he's the heel, he can still be from the Dark Side. If he's the babyface, he's from Huntsville, Alabama. Now, also, if he's the heel, he could be from Blackpool, England.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
He's an Earl.
So the cool thing is, I like this, that they give the, well, cool, I don't even know about that, but they give the Starcade facts
It's a great idea in theory, but the implementation of this is just dog shit.
It's very much like what the NFL would do for players, you know, stuff like that. You know, a hometown weight, you know, offensive move, or, you know, things like that. It says that he likes to create offense off the top rope.
All right. Thank you very much, Starcade Stats.
And he's taken on the Z-Man, Tom Zink, and this is the first time I've ever seen the Z-Man in action.
Oh, that's too bad. I like the Z-Man. I've always liked the Z-Man as a top-rate, mid-card babyface. He looks great. He looks fantastic. The ladies love him. And JR even knows he's a bachelor, ladies. I always love when JR threw that in there.
Former Mr. Minnesota as well.
Yeah, love the Z-Man as a baby face. And I would have loved to see him try his work as a heel. I think the Z-Man as a cocky dick heel could have worked later, too.
Ooh, that could have. He also says the Starcade facts, he's got a 35-match winning streak going on.
If they say so, okay. I'll take your word on that, JR.
Sure, why not? Before we start the match, JR lets us know that Ric Flair will not be here tonight because there was a limousine accident.
Now, later in the show, they show sort of what happened with Teddy. Yes. Did you watch the whole thing? The whole thing is hilarious.
No, I only saw it on the show.
Let's go ahead and talk about this, since they're talking about this. So, at the last Clash of the Champions, the main event was Nature Boy versus Butch Reed. And if Butch Reed won, Doom and Teddy Long got possession of Flair's yacht. But if Flair won, the Horsemen would get a rematch at the tag team titles from their first match at Halloween Havoc, and Teddy Law would have to be Flair's chauffeur for the day. So, of course, shenanigans ensue. Nothing like a slavery joke here. Flair gives the boot to his regular driver and brings out Teddy, and he makes him drive him around Atlanta. And because they're at the CNN Center, Ric Flair's talking about Ted Turner and the Atlanta Hawks and the Braves and all this stuff, CNN Center. He makes Teddy stop by the corner store and pick him up a Diet Coke, which was funny. But then Teddy has car troubles with the limo, and Nature's like, man, this is my car. That ain't no car trouble. You keep it out there. So Teddy turns off into the hood where his goons are laying low, and he basically gets lynched live on TV, and Doom and Teddy Long steal the limousine. It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
That would be – I could watch that probably on loop for the amount of time that this pay-per-view happened, and I would love that.
It was so funny.
Yeah, I saw them pull him out of the limousine, and that was it. It looked hilarious. It looked like the same block that Cactus Jack had his promo a couple of years ago.
No, I was looking at the streets because I've been to Atlanta. I mean, dozens of times. It looked like that Teddy picked up Flair right outside what's now the Phillips Arena. So they were at the Omni. It looked like they were at the Omni when they did that. I swear the block he turned off into, I've been to that block before, and there were four white guys that grabbed Flair as he came out the door. That's four more white guys that I've ever seen in that part of town. I'm just saying that right now.
That's
South Atlanta. Southwest Atlanta ain't none to fuck with. That's all I'm saying.
Which, by the way, is also, I think, the same block that Akeem turned into, a woman gang turned into.
Oh, absolutely.
Akeem.
Absolutely. It would not surprise me at all.
So this match, it happens. Let's see. Z-Man, actually, I like Z-Man's moves. He's got two, he jumps from the mat to the top rope and does two crossbodies. Hey, not bad.
Yeah, not bad. The crowd gets buzzing when Body catches him with a right hand in the corner, closed fist. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not happy about that. Now, why did Paul Heyman calls himself Geraldo Dangerously because he says that Bobby's partner started dating Yoko Ono.
No, I'm reaching for that one, Paulie, but okay.
let's see.
The Z-Man suplexes Bobby. It's early 90s WCW. We've got the ramp that connects to the ring. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Z-Man suplexes Bobby from the ring out onto the ramp and causing Paul E to go all Joey Styles with, oh my God.
And he pulls a Pillman. Z-Man jumps, leaps over the top rope and does like a crossbody to the
Ah, yes, that's right. The old Air Pillman move. I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That led to JR and Paul bickering about the over the top rope rules, which is pretty fun. Yeah. Which is pretty funny because JR says, well, you've never refereed a match, Paul. I have. And Paul says, yeah, you were so good at officiating, you're an announcer now. Which I thought was good.
So at this point, I realized the Z-Man, so like I said, first time I've ever seen Z-Man, he looks like a cross between, and you're not going to like this, Rick Martel and Paul Roma in the face.
It's not bad. Now, of course, he used to be partners with Martel. They were the Can-Am Connection back in the day in the WWF. And when Zink found out Martel was making more money, he quit.
That's a true story.
Yeah, that's a shoot, brother.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
nobody shortchanged Z-Man.
They were super over as baby faces. They were grooming them to win the tag team titles from the Hart Foundation, and just before it was supposed to happen, Zink quit over money. And they plugged a friend of the show, Chico Santana, into that spot, McGorilla.
Well, well, well. Chico walks his way into a title belt.
He didn't earn that title shot, McMahon.
He was outside the building when a siesta, and they finally found somebody who could take Martel's place, or Z-Man's place.
Yeah, that was always one of my favorite old stories from that era was that Zink found out Martel was making more money and he quit. That's so great.
That's awesome. I've never heard that before. This is he's one of those mysterious guys that I just missed.
Good stuff.
JR says that Bobby's offense is endorsed by NASA.
Well, see, I don't know because you know NASA operates out of Huntsville. They've got some ground operations there.
All right.
I went to the Space Center up there. I actually just talked about that with the VP the other day. I need to go down to Houston to see the one down there because it's big. But yeah, the one in Huntsville is pretty nice.
I had no clue about that. I would also assume that Max Moon's offense is supported by NASA.
Highly unlikely.
But we'll see that soon enough.
Yeah.
So Bobby hits his beautiful leg drop from the top.
They're not calling it the Alabama Jam yet because he's still from the dark side.
No.
But apparently that's not his finisher yet.
I like it now, huh? Yeah. Let's see. Bobby to the top. Z-Man hits a kind of a weird, awkward suplex. The Z-Man goes to the top rope, tries for a drop kick. Bobby gets out of the way and rolls up the Z-Man, 1-2-3, Beautiful Bobby wins in the opener, 8:45.
It was a little disjointed at the beginning, but it got going, and the finish was pretty good. This is probably the second or third best match of the night.
And probably the one of two matches that doesn't have a fuck finish.
That's a very good point, too. Yep. So decent opener. I'm not complaining.
Yeah. I thought, hey, all right, cool. This is some good stuff. You know, this is solid. And it all...
And knowing what comes on from here, I'm really not complaining.
Tony Schiavone is talking with Dick the Bruiser. And Dick the Bruiser sounds like he's going to die, have a heart attack or a stroke.
Yes. I can do Mark Calloway. I can't do Dick the Bruiser. I'm sorry.
It looked hilarious.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Dick the Bruiser later.
So then they're going to talk about the Pat O'Connell Memorial First Annual Tag Team Tournament, and they bring out the gigantic trophy.
Yeah, this thing is fucking huge. We'll see it again later as it's standing next to the frickin' Steiner bro. Oh, spoiler, my bad. anyway, Capetta announces that whoever wins tonight will win the trophy and be announced the champions of the universe.
Yeah.
Direct quote from Gary Michael Capetta. We'll talk more about that later, too.
So we get we get all sorts of chicks. We get eight women holding flags of the nations, and they go up and down the aisle, and their hair is so 80s.
Yeah, straight out of 1990. Straight out of 1990.
It's so awful. All the Aquanet was used on their hair. And we got the teams. The eight teams are going to be in this tournament. The USA, Great Britain, Soviet Union, New Zealand, Mexico, South Africa, Canada, and Japan.
Oh, we've got Canada in there? Well, at least we'll get some work rate from Canada.
Yeah, well, I hope so. You know, they're known for some
stuff. Yeah, I mean, loads of talent has come from both sides of Canada. So we're bound to get some good workers from up there.
Bound to get it. And JR lets us know that the number one seed in this tournament is the United States. That's the Steiner brothers. The number two seed is Japan. So, you know, maybe they'll meet in the final.
Is Japan represented by the Orient Express?
I hope so. And I hope they're not suffering from jet lag this time.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about jet lag in a little while, too. Yeah, Jim Ross brings up jet lag.
So, second match of the evening, which is the first match of the tag team tournament, it is South Africa, which looks like it's being represented by the Truth Commission, of Colonel Deckler and Sergeant Kruger. Colonel De Beers was not allowed in the building, apparently.
Yeah, apparently not.
And they're going to take on the Steiner brothers.
All right, do you know who the South African team really was?
I have no clue.
That's Rocco Rock, ladies and gentlemen.
Holy crap.
Colonel De Klerk or Sergeant De Klerk, whatever the fuck his name is. De Klerk was Rocco Rock. Kruger, Matt Bourne, Doink the Clown, Big Josh.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Ain't that some shit? Well,
let me just say, they must have found some work rate when they changed their names, because this was awful.
Yeah, Steiners come out to... So everybody comes out to the national anthem, and even the Steiners at this point come out to the Star-Spangled Banner. Come on,
yeah,
son.
It's a little odd, but I like it. It's a patriotic.
Scott Steiner waving the flag. Yeah, that's... No, not exactly. By the way, speaking of... Scott Steiner, it's 1990. He is jacked to the gills here.
And his mullet is so
wonderful. Yes.
JR lets us know. Oh, no. Somebody lets us know that they both wrestled, obviously, for the University of Michigan. But, Heyman says, but both are illiterate. Which we'll get to later on in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Of note, I always like when this happens. But we see our friend Bill Apter down at ringside. So, what was his magazine? Because I mean, he had a few of them, but I'm trying to think which one. There was the wrestler. Was it PWI? Did he do PWI?
Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Yeah. PWI getting coverage here live at Starcade.
Well, he's obviously trying to rank these tag teams for the so called Championship of the Universe.
The Champions of the Universe. Absolutely.
Kruger, now, surprised by me, I'm surprised as hell that the South Africans actually got a lick of offense on this one, but Kruger hits a early belly-to-belly suplex, which is completely no-sold by Rick Steiner, who delivers a Steiner line.
Of course he no-sold it.
And then he decides to decapitate both of them with a double Steiner
line. Yes. Yeah, this is just a beatdown.
okay, now, the other, I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Rocco Rock. I have no clue, because Big Josh ain't leaving his feet like that. But he, whoever it is, gets a spinning savat kick, is what we're told. And then he does a suicide kind of dive over the top, and Rick Steiner no-sells that, and basically catches the guy upside down.
Yeah, he flipped. It was like a somersault senton over the top rope, and Steiner just catches him and just drops him. It was hilarious.
It was so funny. You think I'm going to sell like that? Huh? Now, Scott's in, and he hits a double scoop slam on both the guys. Hits a tilt-a-whirl slam.
Yeah, he does the tilt-a-whirl slam, and he comes up and hits the pose. You know, the one where, you know, yeah.
And then he wants a Frankensteiner. And he hits the Frankensteiner. And this is the first time that I've ever seen this, but the referee starts the count before Scott Steiner even proceeds to pin the South African guy.
Yes.
He starts the one count. Scott is over him and kind of then gets off him and then goes for the pin. That's the two. Scott is up off the guy, and that's the three. What the fuck?
Yeah, he totally counted the three, and Steiner might have been on him for a one count. It was awful.
What, for a half? He had him for a half. Now, I can understand if you were counting the moment that the guy's head goes down for the Frankensteiner as one, but Steiner got up and then proceeds to go for the cover. Alrighty, fair enough.
All right.
Skinny referee, who I assume that will be the last of his shenanigans.
Yeah, I wasn't even paying attention to the referees most of the night until the U.S. title match, and then of course the tag team final.
So that was two. At least it was 2 minutes and 12 seconds. The Steiners beat the shit out of them and then walked to the back. Basically left.
Yeah.
Like they stole something. We're out of here. Third match of the evening. It is the United Kingdom, Britain, represented by Chris Adams, gentleman Chris Adams, and Mr. Norman Smiley.
Holy shit, Chris Adams and Norman Smiley. Is this 98 Nitro?
Maybe, because they're taking on the team from Mexico. As Jim Ross lets us know, his name is Rey Mysterio, but the graphic says Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, and JR even calls him Mysterio like three times. It's so funny. He can't even remember what his fucking name is. Way to put in that homework, Jim Ross. Consummate professional to Rock's ass.
And Rey Mysterio Sr., his partner, is Conan under a white mask. Oh, by the way, he was carrying a blue sombrero.
Yes, he had a sombrero.
he was too cautious to put it on. I don't want to put this shit on.
Yo, 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 let me speak on this. Hola, arriba la raza. Toss my salad and peel my potatoes.
Okay, before we start this, Conan's back knee was off the
yes!
charts.
Yes! It was horrible.
Jesus Christ. So,
shades of Snitsky.
Starcade, go ahead. The Starcade notes, Chris Adams, his super kick is a quote-unquote dangerous weapon.
Yeah, boy.
Colorful back knee on Conan. It is distracting and awful.
Yep.
Rey Mysterio Sr. looks like a cross between, I think he's wearing Psychosis's mask and crazy big hair, and he's got the body of El Dandy. And throughout the match, then I started believing that El Dandy was actually under the mask.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy?
Who are you? He's a jam-up guy,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So Conan is no-selling early on with abandon.
Because of course he is.
Paul Heyman lets us know that Conan's family is rough, that his parents came over on the same banana boat, they tried to pickpocket each other, and it was love at first sight.
Thank you, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Paul seems to be gathering strength from Jesse Ventura-isms, and also I notice he sounds and talks a lot like Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yes. Yeah, learn from the best. You're a young heel color commentator like Paul Heyman was at the time. Why not try to emulate the best?
Exactly. Adams super kicked Rey Mysterio's cabeza off. That was awesome.
Yes, it was awesome. Was
the best move of the entire pay-per-view.
Absolutely. Sound like he hit him with a gunshot.
Alrighty. Conan decides to put, I think it was Norman Smiley that hits a reverse suplex off the top rope and then goes for a weird kind of roll-up and gets the three count.
Yeah, and even that three count wasn't exactly legit. It was all broken up, too.
And then immediately after the match, Rey Mysterio does a suicide dive over the top rope and eats shit.
It's like Adam just sidestepped him, and he just splatted on the floor. You hear the big thud, the big thud off camera.
He was rolling around. This is like Benoit blading after the match.
Which, hey, by the way, because I would have never thought of this later. Benoit blading after the match, still the best blade job ever. Number two might be in our main event tonight.
Yeah. Yes. That was 5 minutes and 29 seconds. Now, I was talking to the listener, a fan of the show, Johnny Belfield, last night, and through about the first half of the show, okay, there were a lot of bad things that were happening with shitty ref decisions and just really bad, 1990s wrestling. But I was saying, you know what? It's going really fast. I was about an hour in, and it really, I told him, I said, I only felt like I was been watching for about 20 minutes. It was crazy fast.
Well, with a tournament, you've got a lot of matches. So it always, you know, you have a one-night tournament, it always bumps up in the number of matches you got on the card. So you got to kind of keep it going. And it never really got bogged down. There really wasn't a long match on the card.
No, there wasn't. Thank God. Rey Mysterio is still rolling around on the ground. And Missy Hyatt is, she's with Michael Wallstreet and Alexander York.
And Jim Ross says of Missy Hyatt, I hope she's not wearing one of those Adam Bomb dresses, 50% fallout.
That was good. That was
really good.
And Alexander York's holding a computer. It's a label maker. Yeah.
I was going to say, look at that computer. Yeah, boy.
And she says, okay, so Alexander York, if you people don't know who she is, that is actually Marlena, what's
Terry Runnels.
Terry Runnels.
You know, it's funny. You go back and I was watching one of the old World Championship Wrestling shows that they uploaded to the network. And at the end of, even the end of the weekly show, they'd run the credits at the end. And I don't remember exactly what her title was. But it was like a makeup department. Terry Boatwright. That's her.
Yes, that's right.
Thought that was hilarious.
I remember she was costume or makeup. Yep. I remember that. Yeah. And by the way, she's also, this is pre-boob job, pre-tanning everything. So she's a normal looking chick, but with gigantic glasses.
And gigantic hair, too. There's a lot going on there. Again, straight out of 1990.
She is claiming that Michael Wallstreet will beat Terry Taylor in under 8 minutes, and we all hope to God that happens.
Yes, please be less than 8 minutes.
Next match is the New Zealand team. It is they're known as the Royal Family, apparently.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about the Royal Family, and I guarantee you that Jack fucking Victory ain't from New Zealand.
Rip Morgan and Jacko Victory.
Oh, shit. All right.
Jack fucking Victory. Wow.
Let me tell you, Jack Victory, I'm going to kick your fucking ass.
I wish New Jack was here.
No, shit.
And they're taking on the number two seed, the Japanese team of Mr. Saito and the Great Muda.
Every time I've ever seen Masa Saito, he's always looked like he's 60 years old. Always. He's looked the same in 1975, 1995, whenever. Always looked the same.
It looks like Mr. Saito doesn't give one fuck about this thing.
That's a scary looking motherfucker. That's all I'm going to say.
Damn right.
I ain't fucking with that guy.
First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name, Saito.
Aye.
Muda gets a chant going on pre-match.
Yeah, good pop for Muda.
And they're supposed to be the
bad guys. Exactly. But you know, the fans are like, hey, this is the one guy we know, you know, can be a superstar. So we're going to cheer for him.
Muta
dangerously says he thought the Black Scorpion could have been the Great Muta, so we could scratch him off the list.
Yes, we can. Yeah, if you're keeping score at home, and it's not Mr. Saito either.
They all, they also go into whether Jack Vickery or not is actually from New Zealand. And they talk about he's originally from Seaside Heights, New Jersey. And Paul absolutely buries New Jersey in the process. It's hilarious.
Let's see. Saito comes in. He nails a wonderful crazy snap suplex. And it's all the Japanese guys thus far. They're just kicking ass. Spinning karate kick is what JR lets us know that Muta does.
Yes. So they bring up Saito. And they say that he represented Japan at the Tokyo Olympics. The Tokyo Olympics happened in 1964.
Jesus
Christ. This is 26 years after the fact. So I'm like, well, holy shit, no wonder he looks so old. But then I started doing the math. And I said, well, Kurt Angle represented the United States at the 1996 Olympics. 26 years later after that would be, what, 06, 16, 22? So we're only like 7 years away from that.
Holy shit.
I don't think Angle looks quite as old as Masa Saito.
I don't think Angle's making it.
Angle though, might not make it that far. That's a good point, too. It's true. It's damn true.
It's damn true. Heyman says that Saito is a wrecking ball. And hold on. This is a quote from Mr. Paul E. Dangerous. He says he doesn't feel any sort of pain. Wait a minute.
Hold on now. He didn't exactly spell it out, but we know where he was going there.
We know what he's doing, all right? How about that? Zeus versus Saito?
That's a main event any building in the world, Jess.
Who's going to sell?
Nobody.
Nobody. So now, okay, so I'm sitting and looking. I'm bouncing some texts back off with Johnny, and we're laughing about who what Saito looks like. And we figured out that he looks like he's the Asian Harley Race.
That's a very good comparison, especially with that hair.
Yes.
Hey, and you know what?
Beautiful hands.
I wouldn't fuck with Harley Race either.
Jesus
I wouldn't
Christ.
Fuck with Harley Race and Saito today.
Is a tag team? Harley, hell no. Harley Race and Saito versus the Faces of Fear in a tag team.
Oh, holy
match.
Shit. Jesus Christ. talk about a slobber knocker.
Talk about nobody speaks English to the camera.
What's
Muta?
What's Harley speaking?
Muta gets his handspring elbow. He's got to get his requisite offense in. So the end of the match is a little weird. Jack Victory is holding one of the Japanese guys, and he goes for a Rip goes for a clothesline. The Japanese guy gets out of the way. Rip clotheslines Jack Victory, who kind of backsteps, and Muta was supposed to pick him up and German suplex him, but it was that split second where Muta was still down and it didn't look as crisp as it should have. So Jack Victory actually is standing and he kind of looks behind his shoulder to see where Great Muta is. And then German suplex, and it's a pin, 1-2-3, Japanese win.
So we're now 3-for-3 on blown finishes in the tag team tournament. Good job, guys.
I think we can make it 8. I think we can do it.
Oh, it's a definite possibility.
5 minutes and 11 seconds. I have no clue who Rip Morgan is. I definitely know fucking Jack Victory.
I used to know who Rip Morgan is. I don't anymore. That's one of the nuggets of wrestling knowledge that I have forgotten. So,
well, probably does you.
I know. I agree. Paul interviews the Japanese team after the match, which is hilariously awesome.
Saito's Muta doesn't speak at all.
Of course not.
Saito's got a rudimentary grasp on the English language.
I loved it. I absolutely loved the promo.
I loved it. He says, we de bez, Steiner brothers, and we more strongs.
And the crowd boos him out of the building. I love it. It's great.
And he's laughing. He loves it. Okay. Who the fuck is this? Fifth match of the evening, we get Team Canada versus the Russians.
Okay, so Team Canada is obviously Chris Benoit and Biff Wellington or somebody like that.
Oh, you would think, yeah. Who the fuck is these two idiots? Who are these turds?
I have no idea who these guys are.
Bull Johnson and Troy Montour. And, okay, I paused it. I just busted up laughing. Bull Johnson is coming down to the ring in a full Indian headdress. He is no shirt, and he's got short trunks with a bear over his crotch. This motherfucker looks like Super Porky.
Jesus Christ.
This is the biggest fat fucking jobber team I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God. These guys are fucking pathetic. This is awful.
This dude, he looks like he's a fat native Mexican American with a pedophile mustache.
Woo!
And he's like 300 pounds of it's Jim Enright in red face.
Damn.
He's got a grizzly bear face on his crotch. And the other guy, Troy Montour, looks like 911 from ECW. but with half the talent, and 911 sucks.
Where's Judge Jeff Jones when you need him?
And here's the thing. Jeff Jones. On their Starcade stats, it says not favored against the USSR.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, way to instill some confidence.
Yeah, they totally mailed in these Starcade stats. That's the best stat you got? That's not a stat. That's more like an opinion, right? Unless there's an actual Vegas line on it.
This dude looks like Ricky from Trailer Park Boys. You should have said the stat has sex with men for cheeseburgers.
Holy shit. We haven't even gotten to the Soviets yet. Holy shit.
The Soviet team looks like a muscled up Borat.
This motherfucker's got hair all over him.
They both do.
Alright though. But the one guy, the bald guy. I've never seen a human being with this much hair on his body. He looked like a bear.
And his partner looks straight up out of the KGB yearbook.
Absolutely.
He looks like he's killed people. Legit.
Oh, Jesus.
And these motherfuckers are going to do Russian strong style on these fat jobbers. Holy shit. It doesn't last long as the Russians decide to shoot fucking... They just hit belly to belly suplex everybody.
He fucking throws the sky left fucking across the ring.
The red guy who's the KGB guy, wait, when Troy Montour gets in the ring after he tags out Fat Boy, he looks like he kind of puts his head over his face. He's like, "Holy shit, I'm gonna get my ass." And the red KGB guy, he fucking suplexes him and looks like he almost tore his arm out of his socket. And the referee goes 1-2 and stops and then calls for the bell. What the fuck ending was that? and then Fat Boy comes in and does a post match rain dance. Holy shit! What the fuck am I seeing?
Oh my God!
It was the worst. We just saw two guys get legit murdered in the ring. The Russians think this is a legitimate amateur competition.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
These dudes. Oh my God. I sent a picture. I paused it right when the Canadians were walking down the ring, and I sent the picture to Bull from NXT.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him, I said, "Is this one of your relatives?" And I go, sorry, my mistake. He's not bull fit. He's bullshit.
Holy shit.
God. I've never seen anything so crazy in my life.
I have never seen those two Canadian jobbers before, and I never have seen them again.
See them again. Okay, by the way, you know, most people have, when you go to Wikipedia, the links for the actual wrestlers. The Russians do. The Canadians don't. These two jobbers don't even have Wikipedia names.
Holy crap. So we couldn't look these guys up if we wanted to. Holy shit.
No, hell no. I tried to Google it. I didn't get anything.
Wow.
God. So Debbie, congratulations. You have two fat, retarded Native Americans on your roster. Charlie Norris and Bull Johnson.
Charlie Norris. Jesus Christ.
So now we get Tony Schiavone with Sting, and Sting's talking. Whatever, Sting. I don't care.
Yeah, he was totally... I can't... God, holy, we have to get back on track here. That's too bad. that last match is the biggest clusterfuck we've ever reviewed on Time Limit Draw.
No, but and when the referee called the bell, both the Canadians were like, "Wait, why? Why?"
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, we just saved your fucking life, man."
Because the referee's like, "Because if I didn't, your arms would be pulled out of the sockets."
Holy shit!
God damn.
Yeah.
It.
So. Pre-taped interview with Sting. Schiavone's back there. Sting channeling his John Cena. Totally oh sounded God. Like John Cena.
Yep. Hustle, loyal, face paint.
Yes.
Sixth match of the evening. The computer's choice. Terry Taylor takes on Michael Wall Street with Alexander York.
Yeah, apparently this was set up on Saturday night, and Alexander slapped Terry Taylor. So, yeah.
Ooh. Alex, of note, Terry Taylor is rocking Bobby Roode's robe.
Oh, very good point. Yes.
Yes. Now, okay, was Michael Wall Street before IRS?
Yes.
Or was that... Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Here's the weird thing, because if you remember anything about the York Foundation, and I'm sure you do...
of course.
Wall Street would be to the WWF, like, within a couple of months after this. Who would take his place as the leader of the York Foundation? None other than Terrence Taylor.
Ah. Was this when he was the tailor-made man?
No, he became tailor-made man after the York Foundation.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So was that a corporate merger of sorts, or a hostile takeover that he...
You know, as far it might have been.
And who were the people in the York Foundation? Wasn't it Ricky Morton and Robert...
No, it was Richard Morton and Thomas Rich, who are also baby faces in an upcoming match here.
Yes, great. So, Terry Taylor facts, Starcade facts. What's a five arm?
It's bigger than a forearm.
I was
disappointed that his Starcade stats had no mention of the Red Rooster.
No. Spent time on a farm.
Sired many children with many different hens.
Rhode Island Red. Okay, half the match, I thought that it was not a five-arm. I thought it was a firearm. So I was like, what the fuck's a firearm? Call Terry Taylor. Call Terry Funk on this one. It lets us also know that Terry's father is a medical doctor. So very cool.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yes. Wall Street facts. He is apparently ranked 7th in the world.
Allegedly, yeah, sure.
By the PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated? I have no clue.
Well, it was probably the WCW Top 10.
Oh.
Yeah, that they used to always do.
Was Marcus Alexander Bagwell a rookie of the
year? I'm sure he was.
Wall Street was also featured recently in the USA Today.
Yeah, they said that, and I have no recollection of that. I'm sure it was bullshit.
Yeah, maybe the movie, or maybe Wall Street itself, the stock market, but not Michael
Absolutely
Wall
not.
He is actually, of note, he is the, this is 1990, he's the first wrestler to use computers to, quote unquote, to prepare for matches.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad someone set the trend here.
Like Homer said, they have the internet on computers now. And his administrative assistant is Alexander York is a computer whiz.
With exclamation point, which was fucking hilarious.
Yes.
I wish somebody would have used a computer to actually book this fucking pay-per-view. We're out of this horse shit.
Seriously. JR calls York Leona Helmsley for some reason.
I don't get that. It's over my head.
Is that Hunter's
mom? I'm guessing so.
That's terrible.
Terra Rising.
The clock is set for 8 minutes and 32 seconds. This is a beat the clock to see if Wall Street can beat the what the computer said.
The crowd lets us know that Wall Street sucks. So this might be a shit gimmick, but it's at least over, I guess.
Yeah, you know, somewhat. York is on the apron with her computer label maker typing up something. I have no clue. Maybe she went on to be in the front office of the Oakland A's. You know, maybe she started Moneyball.
Oh, possibly. You know, who knows?
There's 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in this match, and who cares is what I wrote.
Yeah, this is boring as hell. Wall Street does use an abdominal stretch and does use the ropes, so thank you for that, Mike Rotunda.
Yes, yes. Taylor wakes up right around that 3 minutes and 30 second mark. He gets a back body drop. He gets a jawbreaker. Then goes for the five arm, which is just a flying kind of forearm.
It's no Chico Santana flying jalapeno, McMahon. And it's really not. Tito's forearm looked great. He looked like he threw all of his momentum into it, and it just doesn't work for Terry Taylor.
It's not even a Lex Luger loaded forearm. Yeah, no, it looks like he runs off the ropes, jumps up in the air, lands on the mat, and then hits a kind of forearm to the chest.
I don't know.
So that should have been the get the Duke for Terry Taylor, but he's close to the ropes because he's a moron.
And he didn't hook the leg.
Wall Street, he did not hook the leg. Wall Street, moments later, hits a Samoan drop, which is affectionately known as the stock market crash.
All right.
1, 2, 3. Wall Street wins, and he wins in the time that that the computer.
Oh, says. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, that was 6 minutes and 52 seconds.
Hey, JR, I want you at WrestleWar 91.
Michael Hayes dressed as Apollo Creed. You know he tried to want to do that. Sid, this is a promo for WrestleWar 90, and Sid talks.
And Sid says, also, "We declare war." All right, Sid.
I wish Sid was the one, like, if any country declared war on another country, Sid was the one who called them up and said, "We declare war."
That'd be badass. I wish Sid was also the Black Scorpion, but that's another story.
Yeah. That's another story indeed. And Sting's got his dildo bullets on his chest. I don't know.
Speaking of Sid.
Holy shit.
Our next match. We have tag team confrontation.
If you can call it that. We get Okay, you thought still the Canadian team is the biggest jobbers in this pay-per-view. But we get a jobber team of the Motor City Madman, who is... That's not what's his name. God, I can't even remember his name. Ruined it. Never mind. The musician.
Oh, shit. Yeah, never mind.
Never mind. Doesn't even matter. I'll remember it later. And so Motor City Madman, fuck it. And he's taking on Motor City Madman, and his partner is the Big Cat, which is Curtis Hughes, a.k.a. Mr. Hughes.
A.k.a. Gotch Gracie.
Yeah. Nice. And they're taking on the motherfucking skyscrapers.
The motherfucking skyscrapers up in this bitch. Absolutely. I didn't even know that the skyscrapers were a thing at the end of 1990. I thought Sid was all in on the horsemen. And apparently, Sid had a match with I don't know who at the last clash. And Big Cat came down. Oh, it was the Night Stalker. That's who it was. And the Big Cat came down and tried to interfere or something, and Sid kicked his ass too. And anyway, the Motor City Madman got involved. Anyway, Sid was like, fuck it, I'm going to kick both your asses, and I'm bringing in some help. And they brought the skyscrapers back. And as we find out a little bit, it's supposed to be a one-time deal, but we'll see.
Uh-huh. Ted Nugent is
yes.
Big Cat's, yes, his partner. So, Dangerous Dan, Psycho Sid, Vicious... And they both look like they have the 1,000-yard stare when they walk down the ring.
Now, did we get Starcade stats on the skyscrapers?
I thought I wrote something. Both like to. I can't read my fucking writing because I was probably drunk. and loving it. I don't know what it was, but they both... I think they both like to murder
people. I was just hoping that Starcade's stat was Sid Vicious is the master and ruler of the world. Which, by the way, so as the skyscrapers come to the ring, the camera cuts to ringside. Somebody has a sign. It's a rollout sign. They printed this shit on fucking dot matrix printer, and it says...
Yes!
And it goes over like the span of like 15 seats in the front row, and it said, Sid Vicious rules the world. On a fucking dot matrix printout, goddammit, because the motherfucker does rule the world. He's Sid fucking Vicious.
It's about 20 pieces of paper all connected.
Yeah, you can fold it back into a little stack, right? And you can unfold it, yeah. On the perforated paper, absolutely. This was supposed to be the Night Stalker and the Big Cat, but Sid injured the Night Stalker on the previous show, and the Motor City Madman is the poor bastard that got selected to take his place.
And he almost murders one of the other guys as Sid botches a double team backdrop by mistake. And they clothesline the shit out of both these guys, and then Sid goes for what looks like the double team power bomb. It looks like he's gonna go for a pile driver. Yes. And poor Big Cat's head is
it was the madman.
Motor City Madman, yeah. All y'all look alike.
All y'all jobbers look alike.
And Dangerous Dan just staring there, and he goes, oh shit, I better help out this guy so he doesn't die. He picks up helps up his back, and Sid powerbombs this fat son of a bitch, and then they cover him 1 minute and 1 second for this match.
Yeah, and the crowd goes crazy for the whole thing. So if you ever doubt that the motherfucking skyscrapers are not the greatest tag team of all time, check yourself. I mean, the crowd is just eating this shit up. It's hilarious. And as a bonus, we get a fucking Sid and Spivey promo after the match with Paulie Dangerously.
With Paul Heyman. And they pick him up. They go, now you're on our level.
And Sid's just screaming. I don't even know what the hell he was screaming about. It doesn't matter.
And they say it doesn't matter. I'll team up with Dan any chance I get or any chance I want. Because Sid he's a horseman. Dangerous Dan should have been a horseman associate.
He should have just been the bodyguard. I would have had no problem with that.
No,
we'll get into that later too. Absolutely.
And he should have teamed up with Sid every so often, and that would have been
fucking awesome. God, the fucking skyscrapers were so badass, so fucking badass.
And that goes that's the pinnacle of awesomeness for this pay-per-view, and we're all
Had the skyscraper squash, we've had the skyscrapers promo. It is definitely all the way downhill from here.
Yeah, it ain't getting no better than that. And eighth match of the evening, we get the Don Wildfire Tommy Rich with no Italian flag with his face.
I didn't know Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson were Italian. Yeah. They're from Little Italy in Nashville.
So Ricky Morton is Tommy Rich's tag team partner, and Robert Gibson he also comes down the ring with a knee.
Yeah, he's injured. The Freebirds allegedly injured Gibson's knee. Gibson's on crutches.
And their opponents are the Fabulous Freebirds, and they come down with face paint. And they've got the Confederate flag on their faces.
They've got the Confederate flag on their faces. They have Confederate flag robes. And they have their roadie, Little Richard Marley, who is Rocky King, who, of note, is a black guy. Just saying.
Who's going along with this, too?
Yes, absolutely.
Is he their Virgil?
Basically, yes.
How is this even a thing?
1990. Obviously. This is the same year where Roddy Piper came out half white, half black at WrestleMania.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay, all right. I guess so. Yeah. So the Freebirds are in Confederate face.
Yes.
Obviously, this is... I couldn't tell if this is like a comedy match because the Freebirds are flopping all over the place.
Yeah, early on in the match, I think Ricky gives Michael Hayes an inverted atomic drop, and Michael Hayes with the best sell job of the inverted atomic drop this side of Ravishing Rick Rude. It was tremendous.
Yes. Yes. And they the good guys clear house. The bad guys are on the outside. And Hayes is actually, he's attacked by Robert Gibson on the outside.
Yeah, too. What an ingrate. There's your baby faces. Mm-hmm.
And now we're back in the ring. We get double figure fours. The good guys put figure fours on the Freebirds.
Yes.
And Heyman lets us know that this is terrible. Shoot comment.
Absolutely.
So Richard is in the ring. He goes. Oh, Richard, by the way, Little Richard is in the ring most of the match.
Here's the thing. If it's a match between the Fabulous Freebirds and Ricky Morton and Thomas Rich, I hope that Ricky Morton is carrying the work right here.
Yeah. They are a little bit. So we get to the end.
I was saying, so here's the deal. So Tommy Rich ends up in the ring, and Michael Hayes tags him with that little left jab they used to throw. And the crowd, which I always thought was great.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. So if they got Tommy Rich in the ring, Ricky Morton can't play Ricky Morton, and that's a problem.
That's, yeah.
But they solve that problem by having no middle part to the match and going straight to the finish.
Yeah. That's all right. That's okay. So Little Richard goes off the top rope, or he's on the top rope. He is crutched by Gibson. he hits Garvin by mistake because Garvin was holding one of the good guys. I don't know who it was. Garvin is now mad at Little Richard, of course, because, you know, he's got a Confederate flag for a face. Morton then rolls up Garvin, 1, 2, 3. The good guys win. And so here's the interesting thing. The good guys are celebrating, yay, woo, woo, in the ring. They kind of walk out. And the Freebirds decide to lynch Little Richard.
Yes.
And they double DDT Little Richard. And the good guys are like, yay, oh, we don't really see a black guy getting beat up by two guys in Confederate flag faces. So we'll just go... And they start kicking the crap out of Little Richard. And then the good guys realize, oh, wait a minute. Maybe we should stop this.
So then Rich and Morton run back into the ring and chase the Freebirds off.
Yes.
Which means the Freebirds go up the ramp where Gimpy Robert Gibson's still up there with his crutches. And they kick the shit out of Gibson for good fun. Hilarious.
Hilarious. I will say for this match, they had some funny spots in it because Michael Hayes was and Garvin were bumping.
Yeah, like they were selling their asses off. It was a decent comedy match, not bad. Of note, the Freebirds have canned Little Richard Marley. They'd have a new a manager not long after this. You know who it was?
No, who?
A guy by the name of Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, I think I've heard of him before.
Wonder whatever happened to that guy.
Yeah, I wonder. He's probably doing some yoga right now.
So
that match was 6 minutes and 13 seconds. I'm liking this thus far because there have been no 10-minute matches.
Yeah, it's trash, but at least it's quick trash. So I mean, we'll deal with that. I do find it funny though that in consecutive matches here we've had Terry Taylor, Ricky Morton, and Tommy Rich all good guys, and by the middle of the next year they'd all be bad guys in a heel stable together. Just interesting,
huh? Tony Schiavone is with Stan Hansen. I've only heard the name, never seen a match with him before. Stan Hansen, so we just had Confederate face. Stan Hansen is tobacco face. He has got the biggest piece of chewing tobacco that you could ever have in his mouth, and he's spitting chewing tobacco down his face and his stomach. I don't know what to think about this.
You want
to
be famous, Tommy Dreamer? Here, have a drink of my tobacco spit, and maybe I'll give you a title shot.
Stan Hansen's also wearing what I can only describe as maybe he bought it from Toys R Us, a Stone Cold Steve Austin bag.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Stan Hansen is the United States champion. He upset Lex Luger at Halloween Havoc to end Luger's 460-something-odd day title reign. It was a big shock.
Damn.
Tonight's Luger's rematch in a bull rope match.
Can't wait to see that. Next match of the evening was another one I can't wait to see is because we're going to see who also no-sells the most.
Yes.
The Team Mexico, like I said before, Conan and Rey Mysterio.
Mysterio, yes.
taking on the Steiner brothers.
Okay, so, all right, so a couple of, I note here that when Scott Steiner comes out, he's changed his ring gear from earlier.
Yeah,
he was like in blue earlier, now he's in pink.
Yeah, now he's in, yeah, pinkish purple.
Yes,
yeah.
And I note, as the Steiners come down, you see the stage and stuff behind them, and the curtain over on the right side is like, well, is that Lex Luger watching the show from the side of the curtain back there?
I saw a couple people
sitting
out
thought
there.
Luger
yeah.
was one of them. I didn't know who the other two were, but thought that was funny.
Maybe it was the Black Scorpion.
Oh, it might have been McMahon.
Did you know that the Black Scorpion is part of the real New World Order? Yes, that's right. The Black Scorpion is part of the Bilderberger group.
Hey, McMahon, have you ever seen the Black Scorpion and Barack Obama in the same place at the same time? I bet you haven't, have you?
That's on my next episode of Conspiracy Theory. So they start off the match. This is an interesting move to start out the match. Conan does a weird, like, heel trip on one of the Steiners.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he did the rolling clothesline and then grabbed his crotch.
Yeah, almost. he did ask the Kiel Auditorium if everyone was rowdy, rowdy, and bowdy, bowdy.
You know, how hilarious would that be if you took Conan from 1998 and plugged him into an arena in 1988 and had him cut the same promo? What the fuck would the crowd have done?
They wouldn't know what the fuck was going on. I think he would get booed out of the building on principle because he was not
white.
Yeah,
exactly. He's a Mexican guy, and we have no idea what he's saying. We're going to boo him.
He's just like, I think, a gangster. Yeah. A 90s gangster, but we're not in the 90s yet.
Oh, he's got those bandanas. What do we do about that?
So, power slam by Scott Norton on Conan.
By Scott Norton?
Then they...
Scott Norton's in this match?
Oh, Scott Steiner. I wish it was Scott Norton. Jesus.
They could have gotten Scott Norton to be one of the Canadians. He could fake a Canadian accent for 5 minutes.
He is. Flapjack Norton? Come
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
He and John Norton would have been excellent.
Oh, hell
Canadians.
Yeah. That would have worked.
They wouldn't have taken shit from the from the Russians. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Are you kidding? You can't hit me. Ice Train hits harder than that.
Conan gets... It looks like he gets knocked out with... I think, was that a bulldog from
yeah,
the top rope?
They hit the top rope bulldog like a minute in. What the fuck?
two minutes in already. Conan and JR goes... Conan is probably thinks he's had some bad tequila.
Thank you, Jesse the Body
Channeling
Ventura.
Body. Conan's on Dream Street. He's probably had some bad tequila down in Tijuana.
I wonder if he ate some of Chico's tacos before the match, Gorilla.
He's got Chico's revenge. And Cuervo's revenge as well. So, a fall-away slam by Scott on El Dandy. El Dandy, Rey Mysterio runs at Scott, or excuse me, at Rick, and, this is a weird thing. So he runs at Rick Steiner and almost like he bounces off. It jumps in the air and Rick Steiner catches him. And he kind of like, it looks like he's laughing and he just drops Rey Mysterio on his head with a powerbomb.
Steiners were stiff. That's for sure.
Brutal. 1, 2, 3. Steiners win in, I don't know. What was that?
Oh man.
2 minutes and 51 seconds.
Yeah. So that happened.
Yeah.
So the Steiners moved to the finals. I'm shocked.
And I'm just glad that we didn't get another shot of Conan's back.
That's
in this
too
match.
Bad.
God, man, it's like a map. His back looks like the moon's surface. 10th match of the evening.
Before we go to that match, we had a promo between.
Oh,
they
should. Yes,
they
right.
showed the tail end of the Ric Flair Teddy Long angle with the limo. And then Arn Anderson and Barry Windham were out to cut a promo on Doom. Arn cuts a badass promo. I loved it.
Yes, yes. Arn's not taking any shit. He's also dressed in horseman attire. I love the hat and
yeah,
the shirt.
And of course, we have a street fight tonight. It's come dressed as Yar. So it's jeans and cut off yes. shirts and boots. And I always love that shit. And Arn's talking about baseball bats, steel chairs, steel pipes, whatever it is, Doom. We got nothing to lose. You got everything to lose. Basically, so...
There you go. 10th match of the evening, like I said, this is the second semifinal for the tournament. It's the Russians versus the Japanese team, Great Muta and Mr. Saito.
So if we got the commies versus the Japs, is that like the immovable object meets the irresistible force?
Yes. JR lets us know that this is Switch, because it's usually the Japanese team that has jet lag. He says that the Russians may have jet
based
lag.
Based on their lack of charisma, I beg to differ.
Yes, I... based on their urge to kill everyone, I would say it's a high possibility. Yeah. The Russians and Japanese are throwing suplexes like crazy. We got a back suplex with a bridge for a two count early on. The red guy takes down some other guy with a suplex.
I love we got the red guy and the blue guy. That's great.
Yeah, red guy, blue guy. It's, what's his name? Victor
Zeng. It don't matter. It's red guy and blue guy.
See, they did it. Color coordinated. Let's see. Oh, one of them puts. I think Muta in a Boston crab, and JR calls it the Kremlin.
Yeah, Paul Lee called it the Kremlin crab. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Lee. Yeah. Muta gets to the rope. Saito gets in, and actually he puts a sharpshooter on one of.
Yes.
The
well, they call it the Scorpion Deathlock, but yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're in WCW here, JR.
Where anything can happen. Let's see. Belly-to-belly suplex by the red guy on Muta.
Yeah, JR says that Muta might have a long trip back to Moscow. I said, wait a minute. He's not going to Moscow. He's going to Tokyo.
Wait a minute.
Your geography right. I expect that kind of geography mishap from guys like Fred Solomon and Michael Hodge over on the International House of Podcasting. But not you, Jim Ross. Come on now.
Damn right. Hashtag ban IHOP. Hashtag James on IHOP.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something, you Canadian creeps. You're not even letting James Ryan on your show? That he's the pinnacle. He's the golden voice.
There you go, right there. The body says it all.
Solly is he's not a Canadian creep, but just by de facto with
Oh yeah. If you're with him, you're all the way in.
You're all yes. Canadian. All in, baby. So Saito gets a suplex on the blue dude, and he gets a 1-2-3.
Yay! All right.
That was 3 minutes and 8 seconds.
So, yeah, that happened.
Tony is with Doom this time.
And the Godfather, Teddy Long.
And the Godfather, yes. And Doom is dressed up in Street Fight clothes attire as well. And holla, holla, holla.
And Teddy Long says, homie, don't play that.
Yes.
Love that.
Homie, don't play that.
And he also says, Ric Flair is saying, I've fallen and I can't get up. And they leave. Love Teddy Long. Teddy Long's fucking awesome.
With his do-rag.
With the do-rag, absolutely. Fucking love Peanut Head.
Of course he's managing a tag team. 11th match of the evening. Lex Luger comes
out. How about a Chicago Street Fight?
What's a Chicago Street Fight?
Oh, shit.
Did you see Lex Luger, the mural up above him?
Yes.
With the pyro?
Yes.
That's awful.
Horrible.
The Starcade facts, Lex Luger is a slight underdog.
Okay, give me the goddamn Vegas odds so I can bet this shit, goddammit. Don't tell me to slight underdog. Fuck that.
And comes out Tobacco Face, Stan Hansen.
Yeah, Lex is wearing his traditional black trunks, which I'm not used to babyface Lex Luger wearing black trunks at this stage of his career. That was later when he always wore black. Doesn't look right.
That's right. Now, Stan Hansen, his nickname is The Lariat, because it's obviously he's known for his clothesline. So he technically, let's say this, he's nicknamed for a actual wrestling move.
Yes.
So we could call Roman Super Punch, Superman Punch Reigns. Kevin Powerbomb, Jackknife Powerbomb Nash.
That doesn't work.
It works. It works. A little Chris Creative, I like it.
The Starcade stats tell us that Stan Hansen played in the NFL and at West Texas State, and JR just laps that up like a cat drinking milk.
He sure does. I think he just had a wet dream.
Absolutely.
Right there. Okay. Did he have, was it chewing tobacco or a full fucking rat in his mouth?
That's I don't know. It's like he took the whole pack of Red Man and just had it in there. Single-handedly kept Levi Garrett in business.
Uh, Let's see. It's all Hansen to start. Luger fights back. Okay, now we got some discrepancies right here.
Okay.
Jim Ross says, oh, maybe this is a start. Okay, Jim Ross says that Lex Luger was 19 when he started in the CFL.
Okay.
Later on in the match, Jim Ross says that Lex Luger graduated from college, you know, whatever it was. Okay, I'm sorry. I graduated college when I was 21. How is Lex Luger graduating college when he's 18 and then going directly into the CFL?
I have no idea.
This is a lie.
He didn't finish college, though, right? Is that he went into college and then went straight to the CFL?
He said, Jay Ross goes, Lex Luger graduated with honors from college.
Oh, he's full of shit.
Well, first of all, that's laughable that he achieved honors. This dude doesn't know what a Chicago street fight is. Yeah, okay. Lex Luger's history just is there's a, that's a chink in the armor, and we're not talking about great mood.
That's so bad.
So bad. Bad enough that Stan Hansen belly-to-back suplexes Lex Luger out of his trunks.
Yes.
Hansen gets in fights in bars with his horse as well.
All right.
Is he Mongo from Blazing Saddles?
Candy Grandpa
now,
Mongo.
Wait a minute, baby. So,
Let me tell you, baby, there ain't gonna be no black sheriff in my ghost town, baby. I'm the only sheriff around here. You a black man trying to be sheriff in my town, you got a screw loose.
In this match, it's a Texas bull rope match, but he also has to touch in succession the four corners, the four turnbuckles.
Yes.
So Hansen gets an early two and then a third one, but Lex Luger stiffs Hansen, and that stops that.
Yeah, Stan Hansen's not below stiffing anybody, so what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Exactly. There's a whole lot of potatoes.
Oh, yes.
So we get, now they're on the outside, and Luger gets, he attacks Hansen with the rope, and he pulls the rope, and Hansen goes shoulder first into the ring post.
By the way, the ring posts have goofy little square starcade things around them, sort of somewhat protecting them. They don't look like they're padded, though, so it's not really protected.
Reminds me of a boxing match.
Yeah, and you don't see this much in WCW, so it's definitely distinctive.
Yeah, let's see. Lex Luger's back in the ring. He has three nice leg drops on Stan Hansen, and then remembers that he has to touch the turnbuckles. So he gets two and three. He wants the fourth, but there is a ref bump. Ref gets
So Luger gets the third one. He's trying to pull Stan towards the fourth one, and stupid-ass Pee-wee Anderson standing right in the damn way. So when Stan kicks him, Luger falls into the fourth turnbuckle and smashes Pee-wee into the corner at the same time. Okay. Good officiating, so Pee-wee. Down.
Yes. So now there's a boot. Stan Hansen is not above using his boot for a weapon. It's as come as you are. Sort of.
Yes.
He boot smashes Lex Luger. Lex Luger's down. And a new referee comes in the ring, Nick Patrick.
Bum, bum, bum.
And Stan gets one turnbuckle. He gets the second turnbuckle. He gets the third turnbuckle, and the crowd's going crazy, and Lex Luger's still sort of down. And now Lex Luger kind of gets up, and Hansen hits the fourth turnbuckle.
Stan Hansen wins.
Nick Patrick calls it for the bell, and as Hansen hit the fourth, Pee-wee Anderson's clearing the cobwebs, and he kind of shakes off, says, no, that's not what happens. And the crowds kind of go, huh, what happened? And they do the old switcheroo. Apparently, Pee-wee saw Lex hit his fourth turnbuckle as he was getting knocked out.
Oh, okay, well, good work, Pee-wee.
Yes, so Lex Luger wins! Woo! Crowd goes crazy. Lex is the new U.S. champion. Hansen's not happy about that.
Match kind of sucked. I thought it started kind of hot, but I didn't care for the rest of it.
Mm-mm. No, this is the first time where it was like, okay, let's just finish this thing.
Paul Lee is irate about, quote, everybody's hero's gotta win. And then they do an interview after the match with Lex, and he's like, oh, Benny, how good it feels!
Yeah.
All right, Lex, whatever.
Lex going crazy. You know, I'm not a big fan of the you can use the bull rope match, but I don't like the touching the turnbuckles, and then once you get interrupted, then it wipes that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I think it's a lame stipulation.
I don't like it. It should be once you touch it, it's good. Now you got to get the other ones. Whatever. Street fight match, baby.
Yes. Now this should perk things up a little bit.
Yes. Business is about to pick up. 12th match of the evening, Arn Anderson and Barry Windham come out, and they are decked out in street attire, the Horseman street attire.
Yes, it has come dressed as you are. We have a street fight for the tag team titles.
And they're taking on Doom, and Doom comes out in Doom street attire as well. Some half shirts and headbands.
I love it. It's tremendous.
It is. And everybody's wearing cowboy boots and holla playa.
Believe that.
And we get it begin. And Ron and Arn start beating the crap out of each other on the elevated entry.
Yes. And by the way here, Barry Windham's hair is still like short and like a flat top from the angle they did where he dressed up as Sting at Halloween Havoc.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know
he
did that.
Yes, it was a really another stupid angle that Sting had to deal with as champion. So...
Oh, I see. They're recycling that for this main event as well.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Arn uses his belt and he starts whipping Ron Simmons. Ron grabs it and he does a belt-assisted clothesline to Arn.
I think these four guys were backstage was like, okay, this show has sucked. So we're going to go out here and we're going to hit each other as hard as fucking possible to try to save this fucking show. And they did their damnedest to do that.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I've really seen Doom as a tag team. I know of it. I've seen Butch Reed, obviously, as the natural in WWF. I like Butch Reed in Doom with Ron
Simmons. I love
Simmons.
Doom. Doom was tremendous.
Were they good guys or bad guys?
I think they were bad guys their whole run. And then they broke up and Ron Simmons turned babyface.
Okay, well, of course. Florida State. Now, I like the Heyman. Heyman visibly, or he audibly asks, who's that guy on the entryway? There's a Doom associate who's just mulling around the...
Yes, I don't know who that guy was either.
I don't know. Maybe he was the... he was one of Teddy's boys.
Holla, holla, holla.
We from the street. Homie don't play.
One of the guys that beat up Flair.
Arn nails Ron's knee with a chair. So now we got chairs being brought into this this match.
Yes.
And Butch and Windham are teamed up. Arn and Ron are teamed up. Butch gets a belt shot on Barry.
Yes, and that draws some blood from Barry Windham. So yes. Barry's busted open.
Barry drew first blood, Barry's the first blood that's been drawn. But he won't be the last one.
No, absolutely not.
Barry hits Butch. Actually, hits I think a back suplex on the outside. That looks
yes.
Good. Arn is now whipping the boys with the belt.
Yeah, I wrote down, and I don't remember the context here, but I wrote down, Arn goes all Kunta Kinte on Butch Reed.
He certainly does. Yeah, and another one, Windham hits a vicious belt shot
on Arn.
Jesus. Yeah, they're just whipping the crap, ever-loving hell out of it. And then, Arn gets a chair shot on Butch, and that looked like a really hard
shot. Yeah, and Butch comes up bleeding after that. It's great.
Yeah. But in the ring, we get another chair shot by Windham on Ron, and that didn't look that good.
Nah, that one wasn't a good one.
A little soft. Yeah, and like you said, Butch is now busted wide open. So we got two guys of the four, but that will not be the last. Ron hits a spine buster on Windham in the
love
ring.
Love the Ron Simmons spine
only gets
buster.
A two... Gets a two count, and Heyman and JR are going crazy because they've never seen anybody kick out of the line buster before. But everybody knows, you know, you have more health meter when you're in a street fight. You know?
Oh, of course.
Yes. Arn is now busted wide open.
Yes. I don't remember how that happened, but that happened too.
It happened, and there's nothing we can do about it. Ron goes to the top rope, and Barry does a great move. He does a low blow on Ron. And then he hits his superplex. And everybody's going crazy for this one. And he gets one, two, and Ron kicks out of
the
superplex.
Yeah, that was Barry's finisher at the time. So, that was a big deal. And at this point, I don't remember, everybody's bleeding at this point. Everybody's busted open.
And Butch goes off the top rope and hits a top rope shoulder block on
which Arn. I think was Butch Reed's finisher at the time.
Yes, and he doesn't get a chance to cover. I think Arn rolls out or momentum takes him out. And then Barry Windham hits a DDT on Butch. And that was generally sometimes
his finisher. Yes, I know it was his finisher later.
So Ron Arn Anderson wants a chair shot on Ron, but Ron blocks it and basically pushes the chair back in Arn's face. And I thought that was pretty cool.
It looked real. It was one of those things you really do. Yeah.
Yeah, and only gets a two count. Arn kicks out, and Butch hits a pile driver on
Windham. No, he hit it on Windham. It was on Windham.
Yeah. All y'all look alike. Let's see. Butch Reed is then tossed out of the ring, and the Horsemen do a double team. They want a double team. Wait, what was this? No, there's a double team maneuver, but we get a double pin attempt.
Yeah, at some point here, so I think Windham has Simmons. Arn comes off the top, but Simmons breaks free and clotheslines Arn on the way down. But then Reed comes back in, and Windham cradles him. So Windham cradles him, and Simmons throws an arm over Arn, and 1, 2, 3, both falls are counted. So now what happens?
Okay. Yeah, now what happens? We never get an explanation. We never get a restart. They just start beating the crap out of each other in the ring. They beat the crap out of each other up the ring aisle, and then we're done.
And the replay shows that Windham clearly had the pin on Reed before Simmons had the pin on Arn. So the Horsemen should have won the match. This is bullshit.
This is a modern-day
travesty. Shitty officiating.
Yes, I
again.
Saw that. Who was our referee?
Nick Patrick, of course. At one point, so they're discussing the match afterwards, and at one point, JR calls Paulie stupid, and Paulie's like, "You calling me stupid, JR? Yes, I am calling you stupid, Paul.
Stupid? Yeah, Paulie real mad. He's staring bullets
right
at
JR. I love JR and Paul
Heyman. Jim Ross. Yeah, because Jim Ross, he was trying to figure. I don't know what happened. You want to just stop talking to me, stupid?
Good stuff.
Yeah, 7 minutes and 19 seconds. Hey, I would have wished this could have gone on another, five
minutes.
Yeah,
that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Total. Yeah, it was good. Shitty finish because I really thought, but obviously they didn't want to take the belts off of Duke.
Well, and here's the deal. As they talk about this going into the next match, they hint at the only way this is going to be solved is with a cage. And they've had these Wrestle War 91 commercials on the show talking about the war games. Horseman Doom war games.
I have a feeling
that might work.
Yeah, definitely. And in Arizona, which is a huge WCW.
Oh, sure, absolutely, yeah. Dumbasses.
Jesus. Yes. We get another Wrestle War 91. Sid declares war on everyone.
And it's so funny because JR on Starrcade is clearly hinting at Horseman versus Doom and whoever else. At Wrestle War, and then of course that doesn't happen. So,
why?
We'll get to that soon.
Because of WCW. Why?
WCW. Because WCW.
That's all you need to know. Alrighty, the tag team final. Japanese team takes on the Steiners.
Yes, Japanese team takes on the American team.
And the Japanese team gets the Goldberg Pyro.
Yes, I did.
They walk through, and Muda gives us the green mist,
which means he probably won't use the mist during the match. Too bad.
No, very much. It falls under the guidelines of Kane using his pyro pre-match or post-match.
Yes. Yeah, that's too bad. By the way, so they say the winner of this match will now be the international tag team champions. What happened to the champions of the universe? Did the Martians call in and say, well, wait a minute, we're not represented here, so it can't be universe?
Is it going to be like Space Jam? We're going to have like...
All right. Did Andy share with you his idea of a movie? Where the aliens get a satellite feed of a professional wrestling match and presume it's the greatest warriors on earth and they kidnap them and shenanigans ensue from there. He shared that idea with me just a few days ago and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. It was like Star Wars meets professional wrestling.
That's hilarious. I think I saw a little bit of that. That'd be awesome.
That'd be hilarious.
And it could only work with the. You had to use the 80s, 90s guys. You can't use anything.
Oh, absolutely
nowadays.
Not.
You got to have the over-the-top gimmicks and everything like that.
Absolutely.
Hogan and Sheik having to put aside their differences to work together.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Piper trying to team up with Hogan, Ric Flair,
I never respect the Martian fag. It ain't the gay. They got the raisin balls. They never the real. I respect the real. Respect the legend.
I will probe their butts.
or hell, JR just Iron Sheik and New Jack. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. Jesus. Wow. The gangsters get abducted. Vic Grimes, you motherfucker! I will kill you, boy.
Oh Jesus!
JR is a loss of words for this tag team final. This is the number one seed versus the number two seed, the way it should have been.
Which proves the WCW committee knew what they were doing. No, they didn't know what they were doing because they booked this fucking show. So go fuck yourself, Jim Ross.
In a travesty of justice, the Canadian team makes it to the finals. Alrighty. Muda and Scotty start.
Yes.
And Heyman says he lets everyone know that his allegiance is with Japan 100%.
Yeah, is that because the yen was greater than the dollar and all that shit? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay. All right, sure. Muda gets a spinning karate kick early on, takes Scott Steiner down.
Yeah, is that where Jim Ross called it the spinning karate kick, that it was actually an enziguri?
Yes, it was. That was totally bad. There's a lot of Jim Ross was a little rusty on some of his moves tonight.
Hey, breaking by the way, going off topic here, I've got the football game on in the background. I think it's almost halftime. They just showed the trailer for Independence Day 2. You seen that yet?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yet. I'm about to flip it back on after we're done recording here. It looked interesting.
Well, by the way, that's supposed to be, if you're seeing Star Wars Force Awakens, Episode 7 for the kids, in the theater, that's one of the trailers that will be before that.
Oh, good. So I can see it this Thursday night. Sweet.
Yes. Are you going Thursday night?
I actually am. Nerd alert.
You son of a bitch.
Nerd alert. The VP had to get tickets for the kids, and I told her that if they were going, they could drag me along.
Hell yeah. I'm a Star Wars. Are you a Star Wars fan? Oh! The travesty of justice.
I like the music. I like Han Solo. That's about it.
That's all right. That's all right. Yeah. I will... I'm trying to figure out. I have not bought tickets yet. I've heard that they are sold out in a lot of places.
That's the main event in any theater in the world, Jess.
Any? I'm going to try to go during the weekend. So maybe post work on Saturday or a Sunday matinee.
Yeah, that might work.
Now, I might have to go solo because Han Solo because I don't think the doc likes Star Wars that much either.
Yeah, see, I'm taking one for the team here, so.
Yeah. That happens.
Because what everybody wants to know, they're saying, let's please have folks dressed up as characters and shit their opening night, so I have to deal with them in line. And what they wanted me to do, they wanted me to interview some folks, like, live for a special podcast. I ain't doing all that shit.
Oh, Jesus. I draw the line.
Fuck that shit. I'm not dealing with that shit. It would be hilarity if I have to interact with these dumbasses, but...
Oh, yeah.
I ain't doing it.
Now, I went to the opening nights for episode 1,
I'm
2,
sorry.
And 3. Boy, was I pissed. Yeah, exactly. With all my high school buddies. So we were in college. So, we all met up. It was a big to-do. All went to, grab food
it was
before
a happening.
Or after. And then it was a happening indeed, my friend. But we had people waiting in line. Like, we had, one of our friend's younger brothers, they waited in line for us. So they saved a spot. So, we're main eventers. We don't wait in
Absolutely.
Line, right? We just go straight to the head. And, there were a lot of people dressed up. That's where I draw the line. I don't dress up. I don't do that. I want to have fun. I did. I may have lightsaber dueled somebody, some nerd. I grabbed his lightsaber and dueled somebody else opening night. But that's where I draw the line. I don't do anything.
Yeah, I think I'm going with hood and sunglasses so I can be as inconspicuous as possible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they're looking for those hood and sunglasses people to shoot up theater. Good
job,
Mike.
Yeah, that's the plan. So there we go.
So Rick is in, Muda fucks him up with a big kick.
Yes.
This is all, a lot of big, Muda's getting his kicks in. And I think these guys, have the Steiners fought Muda and Saito before in Japan? Because it looks like
I'm guessing they have crossed paths before.
Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing is they'll get their moves, but they let everybody kind of tag in and out. There's no, put the guy in the hold and then do a quick tag.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. I noticed that, too. It was like, everybody get their spots. Who gives a shit about tagging? We're just going to do everything. This is also the time I noticed that the ropes are red, yellow, and red. What the fuck is that?
I didn't notice that.
Took me this long, 2.5 hours in the show to figure out the ropes are red, yellow, and red.
It's been staring at me the whole time.
It's bad. So at some point here, all right, so Rick and Saito were in the ring, and Rick's thrown a couple moves, and Saito's like, you know what? Yeah, good move, good move. He's going to shake his hand, going to do the Japanese bow, respectful and all that, and Rick kicks him in the face. What an ingrate. There's your baby face right there. There's your hero, Jim Ross.
Yeah. And then Rick hits a drop kick probably shortly after that. Never seen Rick leave.
No, absolutely not.
Except for a bulldog, maybe. And then he hits a dude. Rick was just handing out Steiner lines like it was Christmas. So Muda goes to the top rope. He's now here's the weird thing. Muda technically not the the legal man, but he's going crazy on the apron, jumping up on the top rope, doing stuff. Oh, and by the way, of note, the referee is a Japanese referee.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because they hinted, oh, well, can the referee be trusted? And Paul goes into this long rant about how the referee used to be Saito's manager, and when he didn't approve of Saito's tactics, he dropped him and became a referee. So the referee is taking money out of Masa Saito's pockets over the years.
But here's the thing. Let's say, how shitty the WCW referees have been to this point, I welcome a Japanese referee to do this match.
God. At least he'll call it maybe in favor of somebody else.
Muda, Muda's on the top rope and he gets crotched. And Muda sells it like his family jewels have been destroyed.
Yes, which is weird because there's a spot later in the match where he didn't get crotched, but whatever.
Yeah, and he's still holding them. JR says, sayonara, my date tonight.
Yes. Sayonara, Cyrus the virus.
So, Truth Commission. There you go. The crowd is extremely hot for this as we get a USA chant.
Because of course we do.
Well, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan leading the chant.
Yeah.
Muda hits his beautiful handspring elbow. Anyone else who tries that is garbage.
Absolutely and totally.
Yep. Scotty no sells that. Hits a belly-to-belly suplex for a two count. Saito versus the Steiners, and there's a lot of potatoes in the ring as they're double teaming Saito, just beating the crap. And Steiner, I think Saito does a football tackle, is what JR calls it.
Basically, yeah.
And JR says it's like a Ford hitting a Ford versus a Honda. Yeah, we got.
Yeah, we got you, JR. Yeah.
So Saito tosses Rick shoulder first into the post, and JR lets us know that the not only did the ring shake, but the television monitor shook.
It also knocked the headgear off Steiner.
Yeah,
because somebody throws the headgear back to him. Thought that was good.
And Muda shenanigans. They're all on the outside for this. Muda grabs the ring bell and just cleans.
Goes
Rick's
all
clock.
Randy Savage on him. I love it.
Oh yeah. And of course, Scotty playing the good guy. He's trying to go help out, but the Japanese referees tell him get back to your corner. Get back.
And
to
Scott's
your corner.
Like, that's a choke. That's a choke, huh? Now, if it was 10 years later, he'd be like, the motherfucker's choking his ass, and I'm gonna get his ass, huh?
Fuck this! I'm gonna show him an egg.
Fuck you and fuck you too, huh?
I'm an egg. Who's an egg? We're all eggs.
Yes, I'm gonna get you the same redneck ass.
I'm gonna get you yellow ears. Muda and Saito beat down Rick like crazy on the outside, and Rick finally gets up. They're in the ring, and Rick slowly climbs towards Scott, gets the hot tag. Scotty's in. Crowd is going crazy. JR called a back body drop, a Northern Lights.
Yeah. Oh, all right, JR. Whatever. That's fine.
You.
Scott
idiot.
Steiner busts out the butterfly bomb, and he hits it, and he pops up with a ha! Did you hear that?
Yeah, he did.
Love that.
He does that on Muda. Saito breaks up the count as well. Then the Japanese guys do a spike pile driver on Scott.
Fuck yeah! Absolutely awesome. I love the spike pile driver.
Muda from the top rope spikes Scott Steiner, and it was awesome.
My favorite tag team move of all time.
And Muda hits a spin kick on Rick. So you think, holy shit, the Japanese guys are going to win. This is awesome.
Yes, but not exactly.
So Saito is taken on. He's puts Scott in a sleeper hold almost, and Muda is going crazy. He's on the
ropes. This is weird.
Of the other
Muda's taunting the crowd, and he ends up standing up on the second rope, and Saito slings Irish whips Scott into those same ropes, and he bounces off and comes back, and it doesn't knock Muda off. Now, wait a minute. Hang on a second now. This goes against everything I've ever seen in professional wrestling. How can Great Muta stand up there and not get knocked off the ropes? It must be the he must have been in the back meditating, bringing him within the powers of the Mystic Orient. That's the only justification of him not falling off the top rope. He must have been deep into meditation.
He learned that balance technique. He's the Pearl of the Orient.
So Saito grabs Scotty off the rope, slaps the sleeper on, but then there was a blind tag.
Blind tag,
and because Muta didn't see it because he's too busy taunting the crowd. Rick comes off the top of the sunset flip, gets Saito, sunset rolls flip. Him up.
One, two, three. That's a hell of a finish for the for that
new match. Champions of the universe.
Yeah. Who's the man now, huh?
We go to Neptune. We go to Venus. I'm gonna get with Uranus. Milky Way ain't got shit on the Steiner brothers, huh? Me and my brother, we're gonna go to all the planets. And we're gonna get all the Martians. And we're gonna surplus over here to Pluto and the Milky Way, huh?
Just the image of Scott and Rick in a rocket going to other planets to kick ass.
I'm hungry!
You Martians got burgers? Come on! Grab my bags!
We'll have to wait for the spaceship to get a 47-degree axis to be swept to Big Dipper!
Hey, Scotty, NASA called. We're going to space.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Tony is with the Steiners post-match, and Rick has the American flag, and they're celebrating. They've got the trophy.
The trophy's like 8 feet tall, by the way.
Good God. And Jim Herd is here to give the trophy.
Jim Herd is such a little snivelly cock. Fuck that guy.
He looks like a Jack Tunney, WCW Tunney.
There are some similarities to Jack Tunney there. That's a very good point. All right, so they're standing there, and Shivani's standing off on the side. You see how his shirt's flipped out?
Yeah.
If it was flipped out weird. Like a little bit lower, you might think he's got a boner the whole time. It's like he didn't even notice it was all flipped out inside like that. It looked awful. He's such,
what a goof.
No kidding. And so then Scott Steiner cuts a promo. I didn't transcribe it. I probably should have.
I couldn't understand the first half of it.
All I heard was, me and my brother! And then something about Korea and great uncles and shit. I don't know.
He didn't even know which family member was in Korea or Vietnam.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
He's like, both my uncles went to Korea and Vietnam.
All I know is, the only thing I can think of is he was talking here. It was like, we start this! Terrorism started this!
Now I'm going to Iraq, Saddam Hussein. I'm gonna Steinerline you.
So you go back.
And Rick tells the troops, kick some mud.
So you go back with the Dixie Chicks and go back to Canada or France. Same difference.
Hey, Saddam, I'm gonna show you an egg. Get out of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. Yeah, so he says some hilarious stuff.
And just notice!
It's hilarious.
When we get over the Middle East, we're going to be drilling for more than just oil, if you know what the Big Daddy is talking about.
God damn it. Oh.
So. All right. So that was our pay-per-view.
So that. Yeah, that was it, right?
Yeah.
That's done,
so,
huh?
Starrcade 90, ladies and gentlemen. I have no idea what the hell we just watched.
Unfortunately, that was not the main event.
Yeah.
Hate to break it to you. Dick the Bruiser will be the official
referee.
If
he ever makes it to the ring.
He looks like a... Paul E. calls him a... He looks like a Popeye.
He looks like old Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker.
Yes, he does. or a fatter Ludwig Borga, because he's wearing a white and blue
shirt. That's a very good comparison, holy shit.
Representing Finland.
Yeah, Finland wasn't in the tournament, what the fuck? Shit. Yeah, I just wrote that. So he's coming out of the ring. I just wrote, and here, I know legend and all that shit back in the 60s and 70s. What the fuck ever. I just wrote down, look at this fucking guy. I mean, look at, seriously.
Yeah.
That's our ref. Fuck this shit.
Mobbing for the camera, too. This is his last little. What the. What dirt does he have to get on this
paper? I don't know.
So, first man out. Is the Black Scorpion as parts unknown?
Yeah, I always unknown. Loved that when Gary Michael Capetta announced guys from parts unknown, weight unknown. Love that. So
we don't have a scale in the yes. back. So the first Black Scorpion comes out, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. Which one is he? Oh my God! And then.
And now, what I can only now hang on. Before you go any further here, I'm going to let you finish. But I just want to let the listeners know that everything that James Ryan is about to tell you actually happened. You may continue.
You may continue. I thought I was on drugs for the moment, but I woke up this morning and I watched this episode. So I was not on drugs, not drunk either. The four scorpions of varying heights and weights come down to the ring. And then we get what I can only describe. It looks like a B-movie sci-fi kind of thing happening. A metal object drops from the sky and is spinning.
It looked to me like the Claw.
Yes, yes.
From Toy Story.
The toy machine. Yeah. And it comes down and it closes. And then we get fireworks and lights and strobe lights and all sorts of LSD drug trips. And it opens up and...
I am the real Black Scorpion. The four you see are only messengers. There is only one true Black Scorpion, and it is I.
Holy
complete shit. With distorted voiceover.
Yes. Maybe that was Ole Anderson.
It was to begin with. I don't know if it was tonight or if he was already fired by this point. But yes, fucking spaceship lowered from the goddamn ceiling. And by the way, and we played the music at the beginning of the show. The music is hilarious as it just is on loop through this whole thing. And all night long, they've had the Starrcade stats. They have fucking Starrcade stats for the Black Scorpion. Are you fucking kidding me?
On screen, height, weight, and hometown unknown. Facts, Starrcade facts, because I wrote it down, alleges he is from Sting's past, has mentioned California and Tulsa in recorded statements. What the fuck?
I share with you the YouTube video of all the Black Scorpion promos that led up to this. I don't know if you watched them or not. Although I did not see the one where the Black Scorpion turned a man into a tiger. I did not see that one. It happened. I swear to God, it happened on WCW programming. He turned a man into a tiger.
Is he? This guy should be the newest member of the Dungeon.
Yeah,
of
I
Doom.
Know. Basically, yes. Scorpion, my son.
Holy shit! To continue the Starrcade facts, says he was once once Sting's tag team partner. Does that mean the Ultimate Warrior?
Considering that the Ultimate Warrior was the WWF Heavyweight Champion at this point, as a wise philosopher has once told me, highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. And to finish up the Starrcade facts, must unmask tonight if he fails to win the world title.
All right.
Great. And then Sting comes out, and his face alone, it looks like he's really thrilled.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Here's the thing. Everybody talks about how Sting bombed as the champion. They gave him absolutely jack shit to work with. So thanks, WCW.
He took every piece of garbage storyline that he ever was given and took it with a smile.
Company man. Sure.
Yep. Company. He's the franchise.
And we're not talking about Shane Douglas either.
Yeah, exactly.
Dipshit.
Now, before this match even starts, I already hear some of the crowd doing a Nature Boy, Nature Boy, Nature Boy.
Well, they're
boy.
Clearly wrong because Ric Flair got injured in that limousine incident.
Hello.
By the way, at the beginning, at the beginning of the show, when Jim Ross said that Ric Flair was going to be out, he said that he's in the building and Tony Schiavone was going to talk to him later. He never talked to him.
No, he never talked to him.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
No, I remember him saying that, yeah. WCW.
WCW, folks.
So this match starts. So Black Scorpion is head to toe covered in all black. With a black mask.
Yes, but yeah, the most generic black mask with red trim you will ever see.
Yes.
He should have just worn a straight black mask. There shouldn't have been any red on it. It should have just been a black mask.
So we now have, for this pay-per-view, if you're keeping count at home, Confederate face, we've got tobacco face, and now we have a legitimate black face. Yes,
absolutely. And so here's the... they introduced Sting, and they don't announce him as the NWA Heavyweight Champion or the WCW Heavyweight Champion. They just announce him as the World Heavyweight Champion. I thought that was interesting.
Interesting. They start this match off. It's very slow, and just, we don't know. It's like they don't know what the hell they're going to do, because also the Black Scorpion is trying not to do certain moves to give himself
away. And it's pretty apparent as you watch the early parts of the match, knowing who it is, you know, and you know, we already know who it is. It's Ric Flair. Spoiler alert. I know you're as shocked as I am. Watching Flair try to keep his offense as generic as possible, you can see him. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. Wait, no, I can't do that. And he goes to the next move.
I can't do that.
It's so hilarious watching him try to dumb down his offense to nothing. It's funny to watch. But it makes the match absolute dog shit. And the camera angles and whatnot, knowing who it is, you can clearly see it's Ric Flair if you know what to look for.
But he's trying to dumb down, he's trying to do anything but his moves, and you can see it. Just see him thinking it out and just like, all right, I guess I'm not going to do the chop.
Yes.
Here. All right, I'll do, and I won't do the punch. There's cameraman inside the cage and on top of the cage.
Yes, too. Which was interesting.
Yes, because I actually was expecting that guy to fall off when they hit the cage.
Would have been funny if he did. But fairly early on in the match, Paulie dangerously opines, none of these clues could have been real. It could have all been a lie. I wish it was all a lie.
I wish this was a dream.
Yes.
So here's some other stuff. Black Scorpion puts Sting in a quote-unquote Japanese-style...
head scissors.
Head scissors. Yes. He's obviously learned that from the Orient.
Clearly.
There was another one where I guess he was doing like a chokehold, and Scorpion kept on putting his feet on the ropes. I thought this was a cage match and anything goes.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to have Dick the Bruiser doing something, right?
Dick the Bruiser keeps on moving the feet off the
ropes. Yes. So whatever. The crowd is absolutely dead here, and they're amusing themselves with Sting shouts across the audience. You can hear the individual, all the way across.
This is like, okay, I was watching this, and you know like the wrestling video games where they have the Kaw man, the guy who does all the moves, and you build your guy? This is like having the Kaw guy, the creator wrestler guy, take on a legit wrestler. It was so like... What is this? It was so boring. It was just like, what is going on?
So, absolutely.
Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And Dick keeps on taking Scorpion's legs off the ropes. It's like, I felt like I was in purgatory. This was horrible.
Okay, so this was hilarious. So Sting starts to make a route. And Sting gets a suplex on the Scorpion. And he floats over and goes for the cover. And so it's like, this is Jim Ross. And a suplex by the champ. Here's Sting. One. And he's got to wait for Dick the Bruiser's slow ass to get all the way down to the mat and finally count. Holy shit. How long does it take for this motherfucker to get down the mat and make a count?
Jesus Christ. Good. Yeah. And even after he hits the one, it's like a one.
Yeah. Exactly. Two. So Jim Ross is like, at one. Bruiser's checking the shoulders there. One, two, so bad.
God, fucking slow count. And then it's like they're doing everything in half speed as well. Like, let's run this match first, like, slow, and then we'll speed it up. And it was just ridiculous. And finally, Sting eats the cage.
Yeah, Sting misses a crossbody and eats the cage.
Yeah, misses a crossbody.
And the camera then cuts to a plethora of Black Scorpion fans.
Yes, there's a little gaggle.
Yes, which is really hilarious, all things considered. And this was also the time. That it clicked with me that the Black Scorpion's initials are BS. Just saying. Just saying.
Bullshit. Nice. Nice. In that group of Black Scorpion friends, there was one guy who was just dropping F-bombs.
I didn't notice that, but I would have been dropping F-bombs too if I paid money to see this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Alrighty. Let's see. So Sting gets a... Flair gets a pile driver on Sting, gets a two count because Sting puts his foot on the ropes.
All right.
Sting then, he kind of stings up and gets a face smash, a running face smash on Flair. And Dick is fucking clapping for Sting.
Impartial ref the Rock's ass.
Yeah, and gives him a pat on the stomach, like, hey, yeah, good job, I'm Dick the Bruiser. Exactly. Yeah.
And this is about the time where Flair just finally, because Paul mentions during that, the Scorpion's not even saying anything. He's not making any noises or anything. We have no clues whatsoever. Yeah. And about this time of the match, Flair just stops giving a shit. He's like, ah, you know, and all that shit that he does. Oh, no.
And he also does his punches, too.
Yeah, yeah. He ends up grabbing Sting with the headlock, and he gets that little uppercut that he gets when he gives the headlock, which is clearly Flair.
So Sting gets the Stinger Splash in the corner, gets a Scorpion Deathlock. The Black Scorpion gets to the ropes, and then Sting rips off the black mask.
Oh, so we get to find out who... Oh, wait a minute. There's another mask.
There's another mask. So now the Black Scorpion is now in white face, as it is a white mask.
Okay, all right then.
So he's the white Scorpion.
And there's a reason he's got to have a white mask on. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, Flair for some reason goes to the top rope, and he's walking on the ropes. Why? I don't
know. Yeah, they end up fighting up on top. Sting gets knocked down, and the Black Scorpion walks along the rope, and Sting runs off the adjacent rope, and the Scorpion gets crushed. All right.
Alrighty. Scorpion, Black Scorpion then eats the cage. Sting looks like he's a little pissed off with this movie. Press slams Black Scorpion into the cage.
Yeah, he damn near dropped him on his head. It was hilarious. And at this point, the Black Scorpion is busted open. We have a masked man and is bleeding.
Yeah, JR says, the Scorpion's lacerated.
I'm laughing my ass off at this point. This is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Sting goes to the top rope. He hits something.
It's an alleged top rope crossbody. It wasn't exactly clean.
Okay, top rope crossbody. Yes, and we get a 1-2-3. I think that's the end of the match.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a three count. The match is over, right?
Okay. Three count. Why does Jim Ross keep on saying there's 2 minutes left in
this
match?
Yeah. The other Black Scorpions run into the cage.
And they start attacking.
Yeah, and then Jim Ross is just aghast. Oh, how much time do we get? Well, there's 2 minutes left in the match. No, there's 2 minutes left in the pay-per-view.
There was just a three.
Yeah, there's no match left, Jim Ross.
And Flair tries to go up over the top and try to escape, but he can't. And Jim, 2 minutes left. There's 2 minutes left. And then
so Sting and Dick the Bruiser are fighting off these other Black Scorpions. Yeah. They even take the masks off a couple of them. So Rocco rocks one of them, and the Angel of Death, which we haven't talked about that backstory of the Black Scorpion angle, where they were originally going to go with this guy, which would have gone over like a fart in church. He could have been, and the other Matt Bourne is one of the guys too. Yeah. Which is hilarious.
And then Arn and Wyndham hit the ring. They start attacking. And then Sting's only friends are the Z-Man and Ricky.
Yeah, the crowd's
Martin.
Chanting for Luger, by the way. They've got a Luger chant. Luger's like, fuck that. I'm not getting involved in this bullshit. I'm not letting the stink of that angle come off on me. Yeah, so Z-Man and Ricky Morton are out there. And Sting gets DDT'd on a chair. He must be dead.
Yeah.
So then the Steiner brothers come out with bolt cutters. I'm guessing Scotty got that off his work truck that he's building the Shoney's with. and they bust into the cage and start beating down the horsemen.
Yeah, and this is God. I wrote, God damn, this is garbage.
Holy shit.
That was 18 minutes and 31 seconds, and that was the longest 18 minutes I've ever probably
I still life. Can't believe that he fucking played it through the mask.
Yeah.
That's so fucking awesome.
And I can't believe that JR saw it.
Yeah, how the fuck? But then after this, there's this huge red spot on the mask.
It It was so bad. I actually thought Sting had ripped the mask. I thought that was Flair's skin was actually showing, but it was a big red spot. What the
I'm getting, so I'm trying to figure out. So did Flair cut through the mask? So like the mask might have been torn a little bit, but the blood just seeped through the mask. I don't know. I have no fucking clue.
I have no clue. And then they take off the mask, and oh my God, it's Ric Flair, the Black Scorpion.
Yeah, Jim Ross is like a guy. I'm not quite. You never actually got a clear look of Ric Flair's face. You saw this short, which of course was notable because Flair had always had the long hair, and he had to cut it off for this angle.
Yeah, she had the short hair. Yeah,
so the hair is totally short. I'm not quite sure how Jim Ross was so 100% sure that it was Ric Flair, except that Arn and Windham are down there. So, holy shit! So yeah, that happened.
And then the credits happen, and then it says it ends with happy holidays from World Champion.
Order your Starrcade 90 shirt.
Fuck you. Yeah. I'm going to order that. God. Wow. Boy. Who picked this one?
That would be me. Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I honestly didn't know it was going to be this bad. That's horse shit. So here's my theory.
Have you seen this?
Here's my theory.
Okay, yeah.
Here's how you salvage the angle. Because they have all the guys run down and whatnot. And and they have the four bogus scorpions that they have. Why not just have the horsemen as the bogus scorpions?
Exactly.
That would have made way too much fucking sense. And then you have the mask beat down at the end. They lock the cage, and it's 5-on-1, and it's Flair and Arn and Windham and Sid, and hell, bring fucking Spivey out. Like we were talking about earlier. There's your beatdown. And it's convincing, and they leave Sting quivering it as a pile of jello in a pool of his own blood. Problem solved. Right there.
Problem solved. Exactly.
And then so you have Sting and you have Sting and the Steiner brothers, and then you know who comes out to help them out? Fucking Doom. You do a double turn right there, and you have Doom as the good guys to help Sting out. And there's your War Games right there.
Boom.
Who's not into that? I'm all about that shit. Holla holla, playa.
Holla. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
That would have been bad as shit. So the Steiners come out and they fight the gallant fight and they get beat down to it's 5-on-3. Who has to make the save? Doom comes down to make the save. With chair, all the shit from the street fight earlier. They bring the chairs and the boots and the belts and all that shit. And it's mass carnage at the end of Starrcade. That would have blown the roof off the place. Instead, we just got this lame-ass finish.
We got this lame finish and they did a little fireworks and that's... Son of a bitch.
That would have been badass if they turned Doom and have Doom help Sting and save him. I think the crowd would have bought it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and then you pair up Sting with the black guys to give him some street cred, right? Because now Teddy can talk to him, and he can talk all hip for Sting, you know?
Teddy and Sting have promos?
Yeah!
That would be great.
Fuck yeah! That would have worked. That would have totally worked. And that's what they should have done to set up the War Games. Instead, Doom just sort of... The Doom Horseman thing gets instantly dropped. Doom ends up... So shortly thereafter, Doom ends up... I don't even remember how the hell this worked. But the Freebirds ended up with the negative tag team title reign. Where they lost the title... They lose the titles before they actually won them. I think... And I don't remember how the hell it happened. I think the Steiners beat Doom, or did the Freebirds beat Doom? I don't fucking remember how it happened. All I know is that somebody lost the tag team titles at Wrestle War, and they, I don't remember. I don't remember how the hell it worked. Go look it up. Freebirds negative title reign. It'll make sense.
That was awful. Yeah, and then shortly thereafter, didn't Sting moved on to fight Flair?
Flair wins the belt like 3 weeks after this on a house show in East Rutherford, New Jersey, with about 500 people in the crowd. Part of which there was a massive snowstorm that night that kept people away, but still 500 people in the building. Jesus Christ!
I'm sure Flair had a massive snowstorm. Oh,
absolutely! Woo!
But then didn't he shortly thereafter go to
the
WWE?
Yeah, so they run War Games with the Horsemen versus Sting and his friends. That was the War Games where Sid bounced Pillman off the cage and hurt him. Yeah,
oh, yes.
So that happened. Flair ends up fighting Tatsumi Fujinami at Super Brawl for God knows what reason. And after that, Hurd wants him to job the title, and they have the big falling out, and Flair says, fuck you, Jim Hurd, I'm going to the WWF, and I'm taking the belt with me.
Woo! Hate to be the guy that told you
but
so.
But we told you so.
Told you so.
So that's Starrcade 90, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what the fuck we really just watched.
Yeah, that was a...
Go find the Soviets versus Team Canada. It's just an abortion of highest quality. It's
certainly worth a laugh.
Absolutely.
The referees, like I said, the referees saved two guys from dying in the ring that night.
And you should really go check out Sting and the Black Scorpion just to try to estimate how many drugs the booking team was on when they decided this was a good idea for the main event of our biggest show of the year.
God damn it. Alrighty. Speaking of which, what is our next show? What are we looking
we've
at?
Had a couple people bring this up. We're still in December. We're going to tape right around Christmas time. The December show, historically in the WWF, has been Armageddon. We're going to do Armageddon 2000. Holds a dear spot in my heart. I was at the show, Birmingham, Alabama. Six-man Hell in a Cell. It's the epitome of a one-match card. But it's Kurt Angle, our Olympic hero, defending his WWF title against five guys. The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, Triple H, and Rikishi. One of these things are not like the other. We'll find out exactly how they're not like the other on the next show.
So, speaking of which, a lot of people have told us to do this show. How do people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us a myriad of ways. They can find us, and I go totally blank. They can email us at thetldpodcast@gmail.com. They can find us on Twitter at thetldpodcast. They can Facebook us, facebook.com/timelimitdraw.
Yes.
Go to flawedcast.net. Listen to Monday Night Flaw, the plethora of podcasts over there. Good stuff to be had.
Yes, and hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. We loved reviewing it. We hated watching it. But what came out of it was that the Steiner Brothers are the champions of the universe, and they're currently off-planet challenging all sorts of alien species for the title.
I mean, if there's anybody we trust to defend the honor of our planet, wouldn't you trust Scott Steiner?
They got a Chonies on Neptune! With that, I am the Golden Voice, James Ryan.
I'm the Black Scorpion, Mikey Watson. We'll do it next time. Armageddon 2000 right here on Time Limit Draw on Monday Night Flaw on the Flawcast Network.
Yeah.